Today, December 21st, one of my favorite days of the year, it's the winter solstice. Officially, the solstice took place at 8:28 this morning, so that means it's now winter. But the solstice also means that every day from now until June, we'll see a little bit more daylight. For some of us, a few seconds more light tomorrow may not be enough to stave off the winter blues or worse, seasonal affective disorder. We're going to talk about what you can do to beat those blues. But first up, Scott Sistek joins us. Scott's a meteorologist at Como News. He also calls himself the spokesperson for Seattle's rain fans. Scott, welcome to The Record.
Thanks, Marcy. Appreciate it.
You're the spokesperson for the rain fans. What's there to love about the rain here?
You know, I grew up around here, and actually, my dad was in the Coast Guard. I spent a lot of years over on the coast, so both the Washington and Oregon coast. And as much as it's cloudy in Seattle, it's even cloudier over there. And so I just kind of grew up used to it being kind of foggy almost, you know, 3 days out of four. And I just grew to like it. And as I've had to live on the East Coast for a few years when I was a child, and I really didn't like the heat and humidity, and I've just come to love. It's like, okay, well, I'm just not a heat fan. I like it when it's cold and rainy. So I know there's a lot of other people around here that feel the same way. So I've kind of anointed myself the spokesperson for the quiet minority.
And the best thing about the rain?
You know, I love the sound. I love the feel and like how it kind of makes the air a little bit cooler. And I love how it keeps the air so clean.
Clean is a good thing. Should we expect a lot of rain this year?
So we are thinking yes. You've probably heard this term batted around, La Nina. And it kind of goes with El Nino. It's a 3 to 7 year cycle of overall weather patterns. And when we're in a La Nina winter, as we are this winter, more times than not, it leads to a wetter and cooler winter. Most of the time we kind of focus with La Nina years, it means that there'll be a lot of snow in the mountains, which is good. So we're thinking it'll be great, you know, pretty good ski season coming up here. We think our water supply should be good for the summer if this keeps going. For those of us here in the lowlands, it usually does mean, you know, a little bit grayer than even a normal winter and a little rainier than a normal winter. But for the snow fans, it also means that we usually have a few extra days of snow around here than a normal winter as well.
Down here in the lowlands, you mean?
Yes. Yeah,
oh,
down here.
All right. Something to think about. You mentioned La Nina. Over the past couple of years, we've been hearing some new weather words in addition to the blob coined over here at the University of Washington.
That was my favorite ones, yeah.
Yeah, but I heard one, bombogenesis. What is that?
That's been around for a while, and it's kind of a rare term, and it's used for when a storm system forms really rapidly, because we talk about a lot of our windstorms around here happen when a storm, maybe even just, you know, as much as a day and a half or 2 days out, is not that strong, but it will go under intense strengthening over a very short period of time. And so we've always called that, it's kind of like bombing out.
Oh, I see.
And so the process of that happening is bombogenesis.
Bombogenesis.
It's one of the great band names that hasn't been used yet.
I may appropriate it. What other terms do you like?
Well, there was one we were trying, and I haven't been very successful. Maybe it'll start today. Because starting off December, when we had just this endless, like, dry, with a week and a half of dry weather, which is nearly unheard of.
Yep.
And it's caused by a ridge of high pressure. You heard us talk about that a lot.
Yep.
And this was a really big ridge. So I was trying to go with mega ridge. And we were joking about it on Twitter. And I asked the Weather Service, I said, do we really have an official name for this? And they wrote back and they said, well, you can call it whatever you want. It's okay. And so I said, well, then I'm going to start calling it Ridgy McRidgeface.
That's good. So from now on, when we get a big surge of dry, clear weather in the winter, it's going to be a Ridgy McRidgeface?
Ridgy McRidgeface. I'm going to try and trademark it.
Okay. I'm talking with Como meteorologist Scott Sistek. Well, Scott, you mentioned snow. What kind of weather can we expect for the holiday weekend?
Boy, you know, it's it's funny you should ask, because going into this week, we thought Ridgy McRidgeface was going to make a second appearance, and it was going to be a pretty long dry period. And in the last, like, 24 to 36 hours, everything's kind of changed. And now it looks like we may have a weather system somewhere in the neighborhood here on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day.
My.
And we're still trying to figure it out. Our forecast charts are kind of all over the place on it. And, you know, it's chilly out there, too. So, you know, aside from will there be, you know, rainfall or moisture, now we got to start thinking about, well, could, you know, would it be cold enough that maybe it starts to snow in some places?
So, oh, my.
So, yeah, so that's kind of the question of the day here is, you know, Christmas up until about 2 days ago was looking blazingly sunny like it was yesterday. And now we're all kind of like, uh-oh, things may be changing here.
We're dreaming of that white Christmas. Well, just one last thing. You, the advocate for all things gray, what's your advice for people who are worried about how to survive winter in the Northwest?
Boy, for me, it's just, and obviously as someone who likes the gray, it's hard for me to relate. But, you know, the best example I have is it's hard to drive somewhere in the winter to find sunshine. You can try Eastern Washington. There are some days it's sunny over there. A lot of days it's foggy. And so the only thing I can think of, I know it's not easy, is, you know, sunshine is not too long of a plane flight away. You know, I know a lot of people go to Hawaii. I know a lot of people go to Central and Southern California, Arizona. That's probably the best way to do it. I know, like, some people use light boxes and
yep.
try open windows and that sort of thing as well. But
learn to ski.
Learn to ski, yeah, go up to the mountains. It's brighter up there. The snow, you know, any kind of sun you get reflecting off the snow will make it for brighter than down here.
All right, or just learn to love where
learn
you are.
It's not bad being a rain fan. I can attest from years of experience.
Scott Sistek, chief rain fan and meteorologist for Como News. He's author of the blog Partly to Mostly Blog, and thanks so much for being with us.
Sure, thanks for having me.
Well, today is the shortest day of the year, and here in Seattle, we're talking with folks all about the winter blues. Dr. David Avery is a psychiatrist and professor emeritus at the University of Washington. Earlier today, I asked him to explain how our bodies actually respond to the solstice and the darkness.
During the solstice, the sunrise is very late, the sunset is very early, and our circadian rhythms respond to those signals. When we fly to the East Coast, we are trying to wake up at 8 a.m. on the East Coast, and that's actually 5 a.m. body clock time. Our body clock hasn't shifted yet. That lack of morning light at this time of year creates the clockwise shift in our rhythms so that we're trying to wake up in the middle of our biological night. Our bodies are not ready to wake up until the sun rises. And yet we're trying to wake up, well, this time of year, 2-3 hours before the sun actually comes up.
And I'm sure, Dr. David Avery, that all of our listeners at this point are saying, no wonder I am so tired right now. We're speaking on the winter solstice about seasonal affective disorder or maybe less mild versions. What happens to us when we don't see much daylight? We are very far to the north. Is seasonal depression different in Seattle than other places around the country or the world?
Yes, there are epidemiologic studies indicating that the seasonal affective disorder does increase with latitude, about 1% in Florida, about 10% in Vermont, also Alaska, and also probably Seattle. In addition, anecdotally, I can say that I have a lot of patients who have move from the Midwest or East Coast, similar latitude, but our cloud cover plays a significant role, I believe. There they had the bright, sunny days, sun reflecting off the snow, and they come to Seattle and have this much greater cloud cover.
Well, what's something that we can do here that might surprise people who are listening or reading online?
Well, I don't know if it's a surprise, but the bright light therapy and dawn simulation have been found to be very helpful for relieving the symptoms of winter depression. The bright light box is simply a box that one can sit in front of in the morning soon after awakening. The dawn simulator is a gradually increasing luminance in the bedroom, and these have both been found to be helpful in relieving the symptoms of winter depression compared to control conditions.
Dr. Avery, you mentioned our cloud cover. Does it help to go outside in winter daylight, even if it is cloudy?
Yeah, even cloudy days are much, much brighter than being indoors. On average, being outside on a cloudy day is about 10 times brighter than being indoors.
So we should get outside every day.
We should get outside, yeah.
So if you were going to tell somebody to the most important thing to do, just one thing, what would it be?
Expanding the photoperiod. Expanding the period from sunrise to sunset. Add more light in the morning and add more light in the early evening.
You're not telling me to fly to Hawaii, are you?
if you wish. But I think there are ways of dealing with this without traveling to sunny climates. The light therapies are very effective. Many people simply use the bright light therapy or Dawn simulation during the weekdays. And all the scientific studies of these two devices have had their subjects use the bright light and Dawn simulation even on weekends. Having a regular light-dark cycle is very, very important. And I realize that society in general likes to stay up late on Friday, Saturday nights, sleeping on Saturday and Sunday mornings, but that's very unnatural. I mean, that's creating a kind of jet lag. It's kind of analogous to flying to Honolulu on Friday night and then trying to fly back to Seattle on Sunday evening. And that jarring of the circadian rhythms is, well, analogous to jet lag. It's been dubbed social jet lag.
So maintain a regular schedule is what you're saying.
Maintain a regular schedule, keep the light-dark cycle regular, and also make sure that that photo period doesn't become too short. I mean, at this time of year, the photo period is approximately 8 hours and 25 minutes today, and that's not much.
No, it isn't. Well, Dawn Simulator, Bright Light, both of those sound good. I wish you joy as the light returns to us, daylight returns to us. Dr. David Avery, thanks so much for your time.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so you're ready for a wet winter. You've got your bright lights at home. What if you want to go outside? Anna Sophia Knauf is from the Evergrey, and she is here to walk us through Seattle in winter. And I see, Anna Sophia Knauf, that you've actually escaped Seattle in winter. You're talking to us from L.A.?
Yep, I'm talking to you from Santa Monica, California.
Okay, where it's probably sunny.
Quite. I did bring some Seattle weather with me yesterday. It was pretty gray and a bit chilly for L.A.
I hope it was raining there, too. Well, back to Seattle. What are hidden gems that you would advise people to seek out in this dark time?
Yeah, I mean, there's lots of warm spots across the city that are especially cozy when it's this chilly and gray and gross outside. One of my favorite places to go is the Volunteer Park Conservatory.
Mm.
It's for anyone who's not super outdoorsy, this is a great place to go to get a taste of nature. Even when it's gross outside, you can't quite make it to a hike and you need to go somewhere during the week. There's their cactus room, which is always kept super toasty, and there's lots of sunlight when there's some outside that floods in through the glass windows, and it's really beautiful. There's cacti like towering over you. It's just a really cool, almost alien-like feeling, especially in the middle of Seattle's winter. But I love going there and being able to surround myself by plants. I'm a big plant nerd, so that's always exciting to me.
What other places do you think are particularly cool this time of year, or warm, I guess I should say?
Yeah, one of those places, I really love the fire pits outside of the Perihelion Brewery over in Beacon Hill, really close to light rail for anyone who wants to take transit there. It's a cozy little brewery. They have like a pretty great happy hour, lots of little bites, and then their outdoor fire pit is super warm. They have nice blankets and like Adirondack chairs for you to cozy up into. And they usually have live bluegrass that's happening. And I think that that's just like a fun way to kind of be outside, but still kind of be nice and toasty like you would be inside with your heater on.
I see one other place that you recommend is the Butterfly House at the Pacific Science Center.
Yes, I'm a little biased. So I used to work at the Pacific Science Center, but the Butterfly House, every time I've taken my nieces there, they've absolutely loved it. It's really like balmy, kind of humid in there, which makes sense. And then there's like these cool moths and like really gorgeous butterflies that are just kind of flitting around the room. It's just a really interesting place to like go and learn something, also see something kind of cool, while also pretending that you're, I don't know, maybe in the rainforest or in Florida at the very least.
I have done that very thing. I'm talking with Anna Sophia Knauf from the Evergrey. And what have you not yet checked out that you're excited about?
So I actually heard that some of our local pools are pretty great. Surprisingly, I've never actually been to one of our like local community pools, and I would love to go. I don't think I've done any pool swimming here.
they are exceptional, I must say. I'm a regular attendee at Meadowbrook Pool in Northeast Seattle.
Oh,
so
nice.
Do check it out. You aren't originally from here. I assume from LA, maybe?
Yep, I am from Northern Los Angeles.
So what was it like when you first came here?
So I moved to Seattle for college to go to the University of Washington, actually. Yeah. And my first winter here, as I learned, was between November and March, which was surprising to me. It was kind of rough. You're starting college, you're in a new place, trying to adjust to things. But I really felt like November and February especially both really weighed on me, like mentally. Mm. It just felt like the life had been sucked out of me at some point. But I mean, thankfully I had a really great support system of my college friends. And then we also did a lot of outdoor stuff that just honestly I had to grin and bear the cold outside. But just being immersed in like the outdoors, I think, with the right clothing, granted, good boots, nice warm jacket, really helped break me out of that.
Well, I'm sure you've seen the same statistics that everybody else has seen, that we've got, you know, a zillion newcomers flooding into our community every month, pretty much. So what advice do you have for them to adapt themselves to a winter in Seattle, or at least a first winter in Seattle?
Yeah, well, besides subscribing to the Evergrey, obviously, as we think about all the cool events that are happening out in the city, I think it's really just half of the battle of winter is forcing yourself to go outside into it. And I think that especially as a newcomer, you really have to try to do that, whether it's just like finding your neighborhood coffee shop that's especially like warm, where you can just like go to read or do a little bit of work if you need to. I think finding your neighborhood coffee shop is like a great first step to doing that. And then if you like want to treat yourself, go take yourself to somewhere nice. Like I know that in downtown, especially for any of the Amazonians or Microsofties who are down there, I think there's the Banya 5 spa, and I've heard amazing things about just the pools, the steam rooms, and that sounds like a great way to like treat yourself and like give yourself a pat on the back for staying through the winter so far. And it's also just, I think you really have to learn to embrace the winter, because I think it's honestly what, like having lived in Seattle now for just over 7 years, winter can be a really great time of year. It's like, it's really beautiful outside, like with lights, with nature. I think you see everything that's green outside pop even more than it usually does. I think it's gorgeous personally.
Yep. Yep. You have to just embrace it, don't you?
You do. I think so. I think you learn to love it. It might take a little while, but I feel like people will learn to love it.
Well, Anna Sophia Knuff of the Evergrey, thank you for joining us. Thanks for those words of encouragement, and have a happy holiday season.
Thank you. Thanks, Marcy.
We got a lot of input on our social media about how to cope with winter, and producer Amina Alsadi is here to tell us what some people were saying.
Hey, Marcy. Yeah, so we got a lot of great advice. Listener Sarah wrote in, and she said, embrace it 100%. Hiking through the wet green moss-covered trees, walking on bitter cold beaches, smelling of salt, while the wind cuts through your jacket, standing in a frigid ray of sunshine poking through a forest canopy. This is the Northwest. It's cold and wonderful in the winter, and once you let it become part of you, you crave it.
And get a warm coat while you're letting all that cut through you.
Exactly.
Well, that is the most beautiful advice that we can leave you with on this, the very first day of winter, the winter solstice. Thanks for listening to The Record. The show is put together by Amina Alsadi, Ajua Jima Brempong, Bond Huberman, and Jason Pagano. I'm Marcy Silman. I'm in for Bill Radke. Thanks for listening. And again, happy solstice.